that has big time camp. What the movie will be the ultimate champ. You might be finger crazy, my finger diseased, but do you watch another chance to find the best of this?
We rate each movie in 5 categories, none of which are objective quality.
It's Stan, Gene, Jack and Nick who watch it till it's finished, because the love for this movie can be diminished. And make the film's plot has no rhyme or reason, but that's a part of charm.
Colin Brad is off the season.
It's low budget film that is most true. They find a flick that monster boogaloo.
Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Yuck Mala. Welcome back, my friends, to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and I am super happy to be with you today to talk about Season 13, Episode 1 of Season 13, The World of Tomorrow. So I am joined by my good friends, and of course, one of my good friends is Jack Hall.
Sup, pretties. I was hoping to be known as Mr. Jack Hall from now on.
Mr. Jack Hall. Okay.
That is a pretty broad definition of friendship you have there.
Really, really broad. Absolutely.
Just saying.
And of course, Nick Boxer.
Greetings and salutations. I am looking forward to this one. Just you guys. This particular movie did nothing for me.
Okay, then.
And you've heard him here, James Cotta.
Welcome back. Is this season 13? Or should we call it 14 because of bad luck? Like, I feel like we shouldn't have a 13.
Oh, come on. If it wasn't for bad luck, we'd have no luck at all.
We're going to get worse luck than we got.
Is good luck, or at least big news. Before we even get to the season, let's be honest, we should tell the big change that happened in the Octagon.
That's true. The Octagon has shifted.
If you are new to the show, welcome. We keep track of our search for the Ultimate B Movie in the Octagon. You can find that on WeTalkPodcast.com. For the first 12 seasons, we had secret modifiers on the films, and those were things that would screw with the score at the end of all of our balloting. At first, that was a lot of fun. As we've continued to do the show, it became less fun. They also became less useful, and I think there were 2 that were never used last season. So when it came time to decide the ones for this coming season, we said the other option is to just not do them at all. But to have everything on the Octagon on an even keel, I went back. My team, the Octagon team, worked hard. They ran an algorithm. They put in late nights, early mornings, revising all of the scores up till now. And with that that revision having been done, there are changes to the Octagon.
Is it a Septicon now? Is that what we're calling it? It's a lesser. We're taking out the entire side. Is that what's going on?
What's this? Well, Octagon means 8, of course. So what is a... I guess that would be a Septicon.
I was thinking what like where's the Autobots?
But yes, we did end up with I'm not even sure I finished updating the Octagon.
You only cared about the top scores. We know what's still at the bottom.
We ended up with changes to the top 10, and Samurai Cop is either tied.
Pardon me? Team didn't finish updating it.
That's right.
The team just hasn't sent the updates to you, so that's really the problem.
They're all working from home. There's some bugs in the system. Once they get back into the office and the Kung Fu Boogaloo building,
It's because there's a season that has not yet been added to the Octagon. That's why I'm confused when I opened it up. What has ended up happening is that Ninja 3 The Domination for our first season has always been our number one movie. But with the alteration of the Octagon, it does mean that Miami Connection is now tied.
Ooh.
Ninja 3 The Domination as our top film.
I think eventually what we should do is a season where we go back to the movies that are like the top eight and have a showdown, because we can only have one. There's only the search for one Ultimate B movie. So at the end of the day, we cannot have a tie when this all goes down. Now that may be the last season we ever do. Many yeah. years well, from now.
We can wait until it's an eight way tie.
Yeah.
There you go. There's not a big margin between the top five at this point. The top five are actually under a percent. There are only a percent and a half margin in the top.
I think it'd be fascinating to go back and see which one of those would actually score highest.
Yeah, I can guarantee it'd be Flesh Gordon. But we have a whole new season ahead of us. Any one of these films might be the one that takes the new top spot. It could be Creepazoids.
So, and that is, of course, our first movie for this new season. So so then, Jim, why don't you tell everybody where the world of tomorrow came from?
Days of Future Past.
Yeah, after I put a snack in my mouth.
Which is always smart to do when you know you're on a podcast.
I got lots of time knowing not that I have to explain this thing.
I hope you brought enough for everybody.
Mail them out, please.
So inspired by the fact that... that both Akira and Blade Runner, which were fantastic films of the telling of the dark futures ahead of us, took place a year ago in our time, 2019. I wanted to look at films that took place in the future from when the film was made, but the date that they talked about has actually passed us now, that we have run past the predicted time.
As the expiration thing.
Blade Runner and Back to the Future and Akira and many other films. 1984, you know, we passed that too.
Back to the Future.
Okay, so then Nick, now it's your turn to talk, and Jim can go back to eating, and you can...
Days of Future Past, World of Tomorrow, what is the official name of the season?
Let's go with Days of Future Past, because it's a reference to a vastly underrated X-Men movie.
And okay. Jim, before you can get more food in your mouth, what year did this film actually take place? Do you have that information in front of you?
Oh, excellent question.
1998.
Okay. Yeah, 1998, 6 years after the superpowers engaged now, in a new
one last thing. One last thing. There still remain two modifiers.
Yes, there are two modifiers that were consistent through all of the Octagon so far. So we decided that they should stay. That is a plus one if the film is under 80 minutes, and a minus one if it is more than 95 minutes.
All right. Nick, tell us about Creepazoids.
Well, with such a descriptive title as Creepazoids, I bet you know this movie off by heart right by the title, Creepazoids. If not, here's what happens. Five deserters from a futuristic war in the far future of 1998 are running through the desert, and they get sort of lost, and then, you know, acid rain starts coming down, although we never see the rain. They decide to take cover in an abandoned building. Once within this abandoned building are five protagonists. I'm going to call them White Bread, Bagel, and pepperoni, and the two chicks who, let's face it, in this movie, their names do not matter whatsoever. Once in, they discovered, hey, compared to where we were, this place is paradise. It's got running water. They don't really have to go outside because it obviously is going to rain for months, it seems. And they don't want to go back because they'll be shot as deserters. Well, you know, they eat the food and, you know, they start hearing things around the corners, and yeah, they discover, you know, maybe we're not alone here, but they don't really think it's going to hurt them the thing in there is rats or it might not hurt them. Well, they start to, you know, look around and stuff. And pretty soon, Bagel, the only guy who has any computer skills whatsoever, eats some more food and his head sort of blows up. The others go, ooh, that's kind of gross. Well, I guess the food has mutated us and we don't have to eat anymore. And everyone seems pretty okay with that. They're not going outside because there's acid rain, which we never see. Then they sort of get some inklings that there may be a monster here. The giant eggs they seem to have found don't really tip them off all that much, but you know, what the hell? Other than that, it's these four people against a giant monster thingy and a couple giant rats, which are really never explained. I learned that if you discount everything a woman says and mansplain absolutely everything to her, she will take her off her top and pull you in the shower. That's the movie I saw.
I'm writing that note down. Excuse me.
It's a dark feature. That.
So now who wants to take the time to explain the parts that he got wrong? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know. I'd have to have understood more of it.
Yeah. I'm going to start running through the desert, which is clearly a bridge underneath Los Angeles.
Well, it's the Los Angeles River. I mean, like.
Yeah.
Okay, it is dry. Obviously, water was a special effect, a bridge too far, because when you can't afford
Los
rain...
Angeles River is dry. That's pretty much the way it works.
Yeah, that's the apocalyptic world that we already lived in, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I love the acid rain, the thunderstorms that are coming, and how they would warn us with it by cutting to shots consistently of blue skies with white clouds.
And one of the guys just says he's got rheumatism or something. That's his explanation.
Yeah, yeah, that guy. Yeah.
The future that
I call that guy Kelly because he reminded me of a certain comic book store owner. Inside joke, but you all get it.
Yeah,
yeah, the rheumatism. That's it's just acting up. That's.
It's like, how old are you? Ah, yes, old. Yeah. So are we done? Are we going to score?
I think we can go right to scoring.
The problem is that this, you know, when you think about it, this movie is so generic, of course, in its own way to what it is. When you do think creepazoids, it's like, yeah, you think of a creepy monster. You think of something that's going to like slime all over you. That's exactly what you got. The rest of it is really just enough that they could shoot it almost entirely in a warehouse. Which they totally did. And I think it was like the warehouse that the production company owned, because I mean it's stacked with film canisters. And so everything there, it's just like, well, I mean, this seems like it must be a super cheap movie. I mean, now, like, some of the creepazoids are pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. I do love that it's called Creepazoids, and there's one.
Yes.
I would like to point out that you're making it sound like a building that is a scientific research center would not have film stock all over the place.
Yes.
I love the depiction of the research lab, which is just everything sort of doctory that they could have found.
Yeah.
Like there's a fish tank is the centerpiece of the research lab. There's some beakers. There's some those distillation beakers. There's a scale for weighing humans at the back, which, like a doctor's office would have.
You would need that though, because okay. So here's the thing: once they establish the amino acids that of course are going to give to the humans, once the humans don't have to eat, well then yes, of course you'd have to measure them because you'd have to see if they were maintaining a healthy weight.
Yeah, that is important to notice that the research project they're working on is to solve that pesky problem humans have of eating.
Well, in fairness,
all that's getting in the way, so we'll no longer have to eat ever.
I would probably want to solve that if there was acid rain outside my door for the next, you know, like 300 years. Now, that being said, since it's really hard to go into the house now, we may want to solve that right now.
staying inside and hanging out.
Oh, but you guys, but I'd be finding a lot of food that I bought years ago that I didn't know I still had. Like, holy shit, really? Huh. That's probably still good. It's in a can, though. Who knew?
I do have one question about the events of the film. So this is a bunch of folks that walked away from their military unit. That's why they can't ask for help, is that they're deserters, and that they have guns at the beginning of the movie, and then they just stop carrying them.
You're like, absolutely after right.
Even after someone's dead, they just never mention the guns again.
I think that they used... Well, they did actually use them. I think that was the thing. They wound up using them about maybe two-thirds of the way once. And I think that the special effects of their squirt guns, you know, making the squirt guns actually laser blasters, must have really... you know, tax the department. So they were like, cut out all the guns.
You know, you're absolutely right, because I remember having a thought about halfway through the film when they start firing them. Oh, those are laser guns.
Yeah. So in 1998, I mean, so let's think about this for a second. So that means that 1992 was the apocalyptic nuclear war, where we did not have laser guns. So somewhere after the apocalypse, in the 6 years, they invented laser guns that look shockingly like squirt gun Uzis. Okay, all right, good.
I love that, like, the it's one thing to have passed the date that this, you know, that the movie takes place on, but it wasn't actually that far ahead of them. Like, it's
like a decade, yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, the world ended 5 years after the release of this movie, and the movie only takes place like 11 years after its release, and, you know, laser guns and genetic testing
and
I mean, it is 1987.
You make it sound like that stuff isn't out there right now, and they're just hiding it from us.
It is interesting that
it's been out there since at least 1990.
From the world of 1987, though, that acid rain is like the thing that will destroy it all. Very much of the day.
Nuclear weapons, and when there's a nuclear war, will cause acid rain forever after. That's scientific. That's something we learned from this.
That's right. I mean, they should have just ducked and covered.
Well, yeah. I'm actually a little surprised that they didn't. Because you know, when you think about it, it's one of the things that I found very funny about this movie was the fact that at the beginning it was Spectacles, or Bagel, as Nick referred to him, that was the computer expert. He tried. He was I can't really do this. Then afterwards, whenever they needed somebody to tackle the computer, they were like, "Well, I haven't done this in a while, but suddenly they're a computer expert."
So they can do whatever they needed to do.
Yeah, and actually, probably better than
computer expert, chemist.
Yeah,
yeah, he was the only guy with brains, though, and yeah.
Well, let's be honest. Yes, so, I mean, these characters—they're not the most likable.
Yeah, Pepperoni wasn't ever going to figure anything out.
I haven't figured out who Pepperoni is, but
that's all I know is
he was the Italian guy.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure they had names.
I don't know. Yeah, what was the point of naming them, quite honestly?
There was names on the computer, and those names included like the different names that were like Robert Ackerman, Charles Band, Roger Corman. Roger
Corman, yeah.
Yeah, were names on the computer when they were listing all that. So that's pretty awesome.
The facility staff, yeah.
There's no question that. I mean, this movie knows exactly what it is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And there was a remake in called Hybrid in 1997. And there was supposed to be a sequel. None of those happened, but I mean, it's got a following. It's not great, but it's generally fun.
But you know, the remake was directed by Fred Olen Ray, so that means that that Jim, you must like when is that coming up for you?
It's in the queue. Yeah, I've moved on to Fred Olen Ray, having watched all of the Wynorskis that I intend to watch. Which was 79 of them.
79.
That means you'll get plenty more Linnea Quigley. No, we got plenty of her in this.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Yeah. I'll have to put Hybrid into the queue. I mean, unfortunately, I've spoiled it for myself. But
yeah, you know the story.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
I mean, but I think I had after I watched Alien. So
yes.
And The Thing. And
The Thing, yeah.
A few others.
There's a lot of DNA of other films in this.
You mean amino acids?
Amino acids of other films, yeah.
All right, let's get to the damn scoring.
Let's do the damn scoring.
Let's score this, yes.
All right. In our search for the ultimate B-movie, we rate each film in 5 categories, none of which are objective quality. And the first category we call schlock appeal, and we start with Stan.
Well, as I said earlier, I mean, this one definitely knows what it is. It's designed to be schlocky. I mean, it's got Linnea Quigley. She does what Linnea Quigley does, you know, hop into the shower and take off her clothes and scream a lot and be just generally awesome and funny. And I mean, you know, the Creepazoid is great. There's times where it's like not slimy and times where it's uber slimy. So, I mean, it lines up, you know, even from the first scene. You know, when the doctor is like sitting there, the door's getting like, it's like, what? But so I'll give this one a 7.
You know what? I'm going as high as an 8. It is assembly line schlock. It knows what it is. It doesn't go too far out of its way. It is what it is. 8.
I got a 7 as well. I think it's a lot of fun, this film. It's not as... I mean, it's definitely low budget. It was shot in 12 days for $150,000, right? Like, I mean, it's a low budget film, so it's got the schlock, and it's a lot of fun, but it's not like groundbreakingly like memorable or anything like that. So a 7 for me is a good.
Yeah, I'll commit it a 7 as well. I think it's got all of the pieces. It's not the most gripping of the films we've watched, but it does have you know, a nice superfluous shower scene and some good especially the third act. There's a lot of really cool monster stuff in it, so 7 for me,
and one particularly hilarious fight scene.
More heart than budget.
Again, I mean, this is a workmanlike effort for this kind of movie. I mean, it's fairly well shot. I mean, it's written in such a way to like maximize it. I mean, it's really short, which I will totally give it. But the funny thing is, it's 72 minutes. It actually felt a little bit more like a 90-minute movie. But I think that what I'll say is that like 15 days in a warehouse, it seems like a lot of time to shoot this movie when you really break it down.
12 days.
150K. Oh, okay, because Wikipedia just says shot in 15 days. Yeah. But
IMDb lists from the cast, so it's 12.
All right. But yeah, so I'm only going to give it a 6.
Yeah, it's nice to know Wikipedia includes editing in the time period.
And opening night, apparently. They count the premiere as one of the days.
This is a cash grab. It's a fun cash grab. I enjoyed my time, but I'm, you know, if it wasn't for this podcast, I would never mention I'd seen this movie to anybody here. And I talk to you guys about bad movies all the time. So, yeah, I can only give it a 6.
The original title for this was Mutant Spawn 2000, but better they liked
title.
The
way better yeah. title. Way better.
They liked Charles Band liked the Creepazoid so much he forced them to change it because it was going to be used for a different movie. I think that's kind of sums it up. It's like it is just thrown together, but I think it's. I mean, again, It's like, yes, you're using special effects and sets and everything like that that are handy cheap, but $150,000, not much for a movie that has a monsters and special effects and whatever. And yeah, I'll give it a 7. I think it was workmanlike, but quality heart over more than budget.
I'll be low man on this because I did find it pretty workmanlike. That's a good term. It's only 5 for me. What the fuck moments?
All right. Well, again, it's workmanlike, so I don't actually think there's an enormous amount. Like just a couple of the oddities, and I talked about the opening scene where you have this doctor who's in there doing, you know, science stuff with science gear. And, you know, it's just like a chunk, a chunk, a chunk, the door handle. And I'm like, I'm thinking if I'm a doctor and the door handle's doing that, I'm either like really concerned or say opening the door sooner rather than, you know, 5 minutes of that scene where it's just like, oh, chunk, a chunk, a chunk. Finally, oh, gee, I'm going to open the door.
Wait, you're not even, you know, she's like, she hears the door and she goes, hello? Nobody answers. And then she does that like 3 more times. Hello? Like, hear something? Hello? Which is not what people do. Just keep saying hello if they hear a sound. So, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. Especially as a way to start the movie, because it was just, I know that we were establishing the place that our protagonists were going to wind up, but I mean, I didn't really understand it, so it was
no. Other than overall runtime, was there a reason to establish anything?
Well, number one, we have a movie that goes to the monster right away instead of waiting, which I liked. Mm-hmm. And number two, there's probably not an actress in the history of the world who's can deliver hello more convincingly. Hello.
That's a good line read. I wonder if she stayed up the night before going like, how do I nail this? how do I make sure that the audience knows that I'm, you know, asking if someone's there by saying hello?
Oh, I really hope she was Juilliard trained.
A method. She was just saying hello the whole day.
she had some time before heading back to Broadway.
I hear she had trouble kicking the character afterwards too.
Just
saying hello. And then the squirt guns, the acid rain squirt guns, which I loved. And then there was a moment where the computer screen, so you have the bagel character and he's reading the computer screen and you get a view of the computer screen beforehand. And so you can kind of capture the first few lines. I mean, the whole thing really bogs. I mean, it's a 72 minute long movie and you have them reading out lines that are on a computer screen for like 5 minutes, but he actually reads the lines differently than they are on the computer screen, which I found kind of funny. It's just like the computer screen says something completely different, and his line is like, it's like, what? Where did you get that? But
I love this movie's over 30 years old, and we still haven't figured out how to use computers on movies.
Yeah,
everyone's still reading stuff off as they're typing it. Like, it makes no damn sense.
And then really, to me, the end, like, again, a 72, I think about this, a 72 minute long movie, and that the end scene, the battle with the baby that came out of the creepazoid, winds up being, I feel like, 40 minutes of the 72 minute long movie.
It's true, that fight between the two of them. When I said one hilarious fight scene, I should have said 3.
Like, it was just like, that was never going to stop. I was watching and I'm like, yeah, okay, I know what's gonna happen. Like, can we just get off this, please?
It still only managed to come in at 72 minutes.
I know. I'm like, what the hell was the rest of it? Like,
it goes on for hours.
A padded 72 is a tough one.
I know.
So, that's this movie.
It's funny to think about, but these are not like, these are not incredible, what the fuck. So I'm only going to go with a 6.
Yeah, there's the good what the fucks in this one. The little tunnel they all have to crawl through at one point behind the desk. Like, Bagel dies, we don't really know what's going. They all immediately sort of assume, Oh, it must. If we go through the tunnel hidden behind the desk, that's where he must have picked up a contagion.
I like that the character. I like that the character that was he was afraid. He was the most afraid, the computer guy, and yet when he figured out, hey, there must be something in those tunnels, decided, I'll just go here while everybody else is asleep, unarmed, by myself into there.
What?
Yeah, but I mean, how did they figure out that's where he picked it up? I don't know. And was it the food, or was it that he put his hand in shit? I don't, and then immediately touched his face. I don't know.
Maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
We're just hypersensitive to touching things and then touching your face.
Yeah. And then, of course, the motherfucking doll. I mean, having your climax. I mean, sure, he gets a couple kicks in on the big, scary alien dude. And then he fights for like 15 minutes, which is with what is obviously a modified slime-covered poopsie-daisy doll or something. It is a really long fight to have with a baby. If you can't kick a baby's ass faster than that, you have no busy being a fucking Marine or whatever the hell he was.
Well, funny thing about that baby clearly to me was like, there's the part where the head just sprouts legs in the thing and it's crawling around. Like, that's what that felt like. But I don't know. There's also that scene in Aliens where they're fighting in the behind the glass. They're fighting the face hugger for like 4 hours. That also, you know, just like a combination of those things.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, again, this is so many combinations. But yeah, that I think we can all agree that end seems really long.
Yes, which made it to me. I was watching it going, all right, laughing. And then I stopped laughing because it was going off so long. And then I started laughing again because it's going on so long. Then I stopped laughing because it's going on so long. Rinse and repeat like 3 more times.
I mean, but even when he finally chokes out the baby, that is a long choke for a baby. Like,
it's not a normal baby. It is a mutant altered baby.
I don't know what your experience is choking babies, but that's longer than it takes.
But, I mean, they show multiple angles and stuff. And, you know, if it was all in close-up, I could, like, get more behind it. But when you look at it from the side or something, it just looks like a guy choking a baby, which really just is more disturbing than what they're actually going for.
Have we scored anything?
Yeah, I'm only going to go at 6 because this is workmanlike. I mean, it's fun, but
it's nothing. Is there no iconic WTFs? I'll agree, though I do think that they're. I mean, they're obviously in there. We've been doing. I like the one the guy who the computer guy who goes into the tunnel and finds like the nest with the creepazoids and I don't know all the eggs or something like that. Then he wakes up in his bed and then he becomes a creepazoid or some infected thing. So later on, the hero, the guy who fights the baby in the end for 4 days, that guy also ends up kidnapped by the creepazoid in the nest. Then he gets out of there and they're like, how come you're still alive? And he goes, I don't think he wants to hurt us. And like 5 minutes later, yeah.
5 minutes later, it wants to hurt you. Yeah,
they're fighting it to the death for the rest of the movie. Like everybody hates. I'm like, that to me was a great WTF. Oh man. Oh yeah. Yes. 6 is probably the best score for it.
I'm a bit lower, really, because all of my WTFs are in the last. 75 minutes of the movie when they're fighting the baby. They think they kill the creepazoid, and then the creepazoid gives birth to a small creepazoid. And honestly, I didn't think you could make childbirth look grosser, but they did it.
I have to say the rat. Well, the baby went on for a while. The fight with the rat. Could they have put less effort into that?
that was the point of the movie where I'm like, they had guns. I know they had guns.
Yes. Yes.
Two people have already died, and you're just
somebody holding a big, like it looks like a teddy bear that they put a new face on, and just holding it tight and running around, going, "Ah, it's fighting me! Ah, like no special effect at all."
Acting, acting.
And then, you know, to have your weapon of choice be an umbilical cord. That's new. I never saw that before. So I'll get, but only still giving it a 4. Memorable moments.
This one's hard, honestly. Like when, because I watched this about a week ago, and so I, as we came up, and I was just trying to think, like, so what movies did I watch? And so then it was kind of like, ah, okay, I need to go to the list. So then I go to the list, and I'm like, Creepazoids. Which movie? Oh, okay, that was the one with a really long baby killing scene at the end. Okay, now I've got it.
What is the right amount of time for a baby killing scene to be, by the way?
That's, who knows? One thing we've established, this was too long. So I guess we'll have to find one that's got something too short to give us an idea. We can even the average the amount of time out.
I think we can make an over-under at 10 minutes.
Yeah, you know, you say that now, but that's a question I ask myself every day. And I have yet to come up with a decent answer.
It's like a sound of one hand clapping kind of thing. Yeah.
If a baby dies in the forest, then...
how long did it take?
Yeah. Overall, this one's really not that memorable. I'm just going to go with the 3.
Three. This one is an immediately enjoy and forget it type thing. So, yeah. It's like a McDonald's meal. 3.
Shower scene.
It's Linnea Quigley, dude. Like,
but it's a good one. Movie. There's two pieces.
Okay, remember two that pieces. Movie where Linnea Quigley has a shower scene?
That's a good one. It's a really good one. So here's two great pieces of that shower scene to me is in my mind.
It makes two great pieces.
As is the monster, even though it's 2 weeks since I've watched this, the monster's image is the slime and whatever is embedded in my head. So I got a 6 for it, but I'm going to give two pieces of trivia. They shot that shower scene. The guy who did that with Lana Quigley was working out like mad so he could be as buff as possible for the scene. And then they shot it, and then after a few days, she, as a joke, went to him and told him that they were going to do it again because he had stopped working out, and he freaked. And he's, like, doing push-ups all the time. So she played a joke on him. All right, so here's the other thing. The two lead actresses, we hadn't mentioned the other actress, and the two of them originally were cast the other way, but that woman objected to the nude scene. So they got switched, and Linnea Quigley ended up with the nude scene in the shower. That actress would go on to become porn star Ashlyn Gere.
That's very funny.
Because she realized Creepazoid, that was her big break. She, like, I didn't want to show my woo-hoo, and, you know, I lost the career that I had.
Kim McCaney, who's in this movie, she is porn star Ashlyn Gere, who, like, a year later is, you know, like, the biggest porn star in the business. But, yeah, she did not do the nude scene, so they had to switch roles.
That's very funny.
So, if you didn't recognize her, that's her. Go back and look again, you'll be like, if you're at all familiar with her work, and I know we all are.
How uncomfortable must the set have been? You're like, I'll do porn, but this is does not feel like a comfortable workspace.
Porn is one thing, but slime is really another thing. No.
I honestly think I forgot the title and premise of this movie while I was watching it. I found it enjoyable, but yeah, right back out of my head, even talking about it for the last half hour has not brought a whole lot of it back. So,
I can remember the baby monster, the big main monster. I have no idea what I saw.
Yeah, I remember the rat thing, and there was something in the middle, and then there was the baby. Yeah, 2 for me. Crazy concept is our final category.
Workmanlike aliens. And the Thing movie, post-apocalypse. I mean, it's got all the tropes in there. So again, I'm gonna go with a 2.
2. Next.
I have a 3, but I'm giving you a +1 for the fact that I can't believe that the whole concept revolves around trying to solve people eating, and that led to monsters. 4.
four. All right. I'm going to be less charitable on this one because it doesn't even do a riff on the thing. It's just the thing. One for me. And each season we have two not secret modifiers. We do thank this movie for being blessedly under 80 minutes at 72 minutes with one extra point.
All right, is it top Miami Connection or
you're asking if we've got a brand new number one? Do not. A middle of the road film that couldn't be more middle of the road at exactly 50 out of 100.
That's amazing. I love that. That's the greatest score ever now. So
which puts it right on track with Street Law, which I mentioned none of us remember either.
Oh, I remember that. That's Frank Nero.
And half a point below Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny.
Which I'll never forget.
That movie deserves a relook on its memorable moments because it's burned in all of us. Across the board, that one.
Yeah, I'll admit the little girl bringing the guy in the gorilla suit to the Santa embedded in my memory.
There's actually far too much of that movie that is embedded now that I think about it.
Other than that, I remember what the girl sort of looks like. That she sort of looked like Dorothy, and that's it.
I mean, it, in fairness, though, you visited my Thumbelina fan page so much. Yeah, that it's just refreshing. That's rather than being memorable.
See, this is how good Creepazoids is that we're talking about Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny.
I just like to know, how is it that your Thumbelina fan page, how is it you managed to get, the Angel Fire to work in 2020?
I just went right to the source, GeoCities.
There you go. Nice.
Easy way to make your own website, yeah.
Yeah, all there right. You go.
Business. Do some business.
Yeah, let's do some business.
Yeah, why not? All right. We are.
I usually wait till after the podcast to do my business. But
And okay. Now that we know about Linnea Quigley's workout coming to us, workout video.
Yes, Jack discovered that there is a 20-minute workout style video by Linnea Quigley from somewhere in the 80s.
So advertising a 3-minute workout after this.
Oh, come on. I mean, I suppose 3 minutes if I take my clothes off.
Five if you put them back on. So we are sponsored by WeTalkPodcast.com. That is the home of the Octagon, where you can find the now revised list of our search for the ultimate B movie, where the scores can really change. This is double octagon. That's what we'll call it. And they have a Facebook. They have a Twitter. That'll keep you up to date with what's happening with us. And also we are on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. And please subscribe on YouTube and on your favorite podcast app.
All right. Well, season 13 is going to carry on. That one's Days of Future Past now. It's going to carry on next episode with Nick's Choice, Dead End Drive-In. So everybody can look forward to that. I don't know. Creepazoids, any last words?
Linnea Quigley's workout tape is supposed to be the scariest workout tape ever, it said.
It is. Okay. There's zombies in it.
Yeah.
Well, that's a workout. Zombies, and also Zombieland told us that cardio is important for a zombie apocalypse.
So there you go. Yeah. Nudity, Linnea Quigley working out, zombies, 20 minutes. I already see this going to the top of the Octagon.
If there's even the glimmer of a story. If there's I think it's 50-some minutes is the actual runtime, but that means it gets plus one. It's got one out of 100 without us even watching it.
Hey, and you know what? At 50 minutes, if I understand how this video is, it's going to take me about 50 weeks to watch it.
Oh, boy.
You all only right. Do it once a week?
Whether it needs it or not, Nick.
Oh, boy. I think we better get out of here. So, for Jim and for Jack, and for Nick, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo!
A desperate band of nuclear survivors stumble upon shelter where they seek protection from deadly radioactive rain.
But the stuffers upstairs blow up from the radiation. I mean, we got it made here.
But their dreams of safety turn into a nightmare of horror when they are confronted by the Creepazoids. Even if you kill them, they're still deadly. Creepazoids.